Iambic Audiobooks and Handy Publishers Limited present Ben and the Book of Prophecies by Kirsty Ridderford. Read by Ruth Golding. Chapter 1. From a bird's eye view, the royal city of Quadrivium looked a bit like a fried egg. The huge golden dome of the palace was the yolk, while the whitewashed houses encircling it formed the white of the egg. Drawing closer, the city took on the appearance of a Danish pastry, with dark raisins of slow-moving carriages dotted along the narrow roads which spiralled up the hill towards the palace. Today this pastry was crawling with busy ants dashing this way and that. These were, in fact, thousands of loyal subjects who had come from all four corners of the kingdom of Balitor to see the new heir. The mighty eagle, soaring high above the city, was not interested in fried eggs or pastries. He had more important things on his mind. The royal procession was about to start. A sudden thermal caught the bird and flung him heavenwards. Decisively, he pulled his wings close to his body and pointed his beak downwards, dropping like a stone towards the city below. The city streets were festooned with brightly coloured bunting. A brisk breeze made the little flags snap and dance above the crowds. It seemed as though the whole kingdom had turned out to cheer the newborn heir. In the distance, a deep, steady drumbeat signalled the approach of the band. Then a faint trumpet blast sounded, getting steadily louder as the procession wound its way through the narrow cobbled streets. A boy darted across the rooftops, unseen by the crowds below. In one hand he carried a stick, which was curved at one end like a shepherd's crook. He wore an expression of intense concentration, which made him seem older than his years. At 12, Ben was the youngest and most successful thief in Quadrivium. He knew every rooftop, alleyway, and rat-run like the back of his hand. He scrambled across the shiny red roof-tiles of a particularly large villa, and finally came to a stop. Peering over the edge of the parapet at the family gathered on the balcony below, his eyes widened at the sight of the jewels adorning both the ladies and the gentlemen below. He cast his expert eye over the gathering and spotted a bulging money pouch hanging from the belt of a boy about his own age. He quickly identified its distinctive spotted yellow fur as that of the rare sun leopard. Even empty, the pouch would pay for a week's worth of hot suppers. With difficulty he dragged his gaze away and turned his attention to the man holding court in the centre of the balcony. He wasn't a tall man, but he compensated for his lack of height with a large belly and a luxurious purple velvet cloak lined with the silver fur of a snow fox. The cloak was far too warm for the time of year, and Ben could see perspiration glistening on top of the man's balding head. He was speaking in a loud voice, commanding the other's attention.
"Of course the king invited me to be part of the procession, but being a family occasion, I felt it more appropriate to be with my own family, and so I told the king."
As he spoke, the portly man rocked back on his heels, and Ben caught his first glimpse of the big prize, the mayoral chain of office, its solid gold links studded with brilliant jewels. A ripple of excitement ran through the crowd as the drumbeats grew louder. Ben tightened his grasp on the stick and took a deep breath, watching as the mayor rested his hands on the balcony and leaned forward, the heavy chain swinging away from his body. Seizing the moment, Ben reached down with his stick and hooked the curved end under the chain at the nape of the mayor's neck. then hauled with all his might to lift it free of the man's numerous chins.
"Papa!"
cried the mayor's son, pointing up at Ben. The crowd's cheering increased to a roar as the procession entered the square, masking the mayor's howl of rage as he looked up to see his gold chain swinging just out of reach from the end of Ben's stick. Ben braced his feet against the parapet and leaned backwards, but the stick was starting to bend under the weight, and he was struggling to hold it. Suddenly, inevitably, and with a sharp crack, it broke, dropping the chain into the crowd below. Instinctively, Ben sprang off the roof after it, landing like a cat on the edge of the balcony. With a flick of his knife, he severed the strings of the leopard fur money pouch, catching it in his open palm and stuffing it quickly inside his shirt. The mayor's son stared at him, too surprised to react, but the mayor pushed his son out of the way and reached for Ben. At this moment, the mounted guards at the head of the procession passed under the balcony. Ducking beneath the mayor's arm, Ben leapt out to land behind the rider of the nearest horse. The horse reared, spooked by the sudden extra weight and by the crowd of people who were scrabbling in the dust around its hooves for the mare's gold chain. In one fluid movement, Ben slid down its back and onto the ground, intent only on escape. Unfortunately for Ben, some of the guards had witnessed the theft and shouted at him to halt, wheeling their prancing horses round in circles as they tried to corner him. Ben dived between the horse's legs, curling his body into a tight ball to execute a neat forward roll. He came up onto his hands and knees and crawled quickly between the legs of the onlookers.
"Stop, thief!"
cried one of the mounted guards. Desperately, Ben pushed and shoved his way deeper into the crowd, but the forest of legs was thinning as people stepped away from him, leaving him exposed in a circle of curious faces. He jumped to his feet and caught sight of the guards, now on foot, pushing through the crowd towards him. Thinking quickly, he reached into his shirt and drew out the money pouch, taking a few precious seconds to pull apart the severed strings. He looked up to see the guards almost upon him. Grasping the bottom of the pouch, he spun around, showering the crowd with gold and silver coins. The people around him fell to their knees with cries of excitement, blocking the path of the guards, who watched in frustration as Ben vaulted over the backs of the crowd and ran in the opposite direction. The noise and confusion mounted as the marching band entered the square. The trumpeters continued onwards, unable to see over the tops of their sheet music. Stumbling over those on the ground, they fell like dominoes. The steady beat of the drums collapsed into disarray as the drummers in turn fell over the fallen trumpet players. Then a short, fat man with a tuba wrapped over his shoulder tripped over a French horn player and ended up upside down with his head buried deep inside his instrument, his little legs kicking the air. Unable to hear the commotion over the cheers of the crowds behind them, the royal carriage rolled on into the mayhem.
"What in Triton's name is going on?"
cried the king, surveying the scene before him as the carriage came to a sudden halt. He leaned out and summoned the nearest guardsman.
"Mayor Ponsonby has lost his chain of office, Your Majesty, sir," the guardsman told the king, grinning nervously. "Everyone is helping him look for it."
The king snorted in disbelief and took his hunting horn from the cushion beside him.
"Please don't make a fuss, dear."
The queen touched his arm gently. She looked down at the newborn heir, who was sleeping peacefully in her arms.
"I've only just got him settled."
"Katrina, my darling, we'll be here all day if I don't get this sorted out right now. It would appear that Mayor Ponsonby is at the centre of this mess."
With that, the king leapt down from the carriage, raised the horn to his lips, and blew a long, mournful note. Before the sound had ceased, he had the attention of every man, woman, and child.
"Right," growled the king. "Someone bring me Ponsonby."
A thrill of fear ran through Ben at the sound of the king's horn. As the chaos gradually died down, he raised his head cautiously to see what was going on. A sea of faces stared back at him. Immediately he ducked back down again, his heart pounding. There was a creaking sound beneath him as he lay quivering in anticipation of the punishment which awaited him. He ignored it and wriggled further into his hiding place, expecting at any moment to be dragged down to face the waiting mare. A few minutes passed, and then a few more. Ben was just about to risk another look when, with a sharp, tearing sound, the fabric beneath him gave way, and he fell into the carriage, landing in a heap at the feet of the Queen. For a second they both froze, each as shocked as the other. Outside the carriage, Ben could clearly hear Mayor Ponsonby babbling to the King.
"There were at least five of them, all over 6 feet tall and armed to the teeth. My poor wife and I!"
He was brought back to his immediate surroundings by a sudden movement out of the corner of his eye. He leapt up to defend himself, but there was no one else in the carriage except for the Queen, who was staring at him with wide eyes. He looked down at the blanket in her arms and took a quick step back as it moved, slipping to one side to reveal a chubby fist waving in the air. Before either could say a word, the carriage door on the side furthest from the square was flung open, and up climbed the tiniest, most wrinkled old lady that Ben had ever seen. She looked down at him calmly.
"I've been expecting you," she said.
Once the king had intervened, the mayor's chain of office was soon recovered and returned to him in a jumble of broken links. The crowds fell back to line the streets once more, cheering the royal procession as it wound its way towards the palace. The watching eagle drifted on the warm evening thermals as the king's subjects finally made their way back to their homes, leaving the city deserted. Deserted, that is, except for two figures standing on the balcony which encircled the golden dome of the palace. There was a bright flash as the setting sun caught the tilt of a highly polished surface. The flash came again, and then a third time. Responding instantly, the bird folded back its wings and dived earthwards. End of chapter 1.